Praise the living God, dear heart. Thank you for joining me again today on Holy Ghost Fire Talk. I am your host, Evangelist King, Deliverance Pastor at House Shalom. You know, at House Shalom, dear heart, we're just simply building God a peaceful house for His glory. Now, who's God's house? The Word of God tells us that our body is the temple or the house for the Holy Ghost. The whole house. You know, you often heard me say that Jesus told me one day, Terry, I have some of you, but I don't have all of you. I mean, He had my spirit, but He did not have my soul, which was my mind, my will, emotion, and He didn't have my body. Why? Because demons were dwelling there. They had not been cast out. So praise God, He led me to my human helper. I'm telling you, Lord, we need each other. Jesus only works through human vessels. Don't let no one deceive you in thinking you don't need nobody but Jesus. Jesus needs us, so we need one another as well. I mean, that's one of the greatest commandments, that we love one another as we love ourselves. So why do you say you don't need anybody but Jesus? Now, overall, we need Jesus, but you don't exclude your brothers and your sisters, because we're going to be together forever one day. We can't be together forever. We can't be together here on earth in unity. Then we're not going to go in His kingdom, you know, if we cannot be in unity on this earth. Praise the living God. So House Shalom, we're here to remind you. I know the devil gets angry because you've been reminded that you are the temple, the house of the Holy Ghost, and that the Lord is not going to coexist or dwell with demons in His house. You know, paranormal investigators and psychics may teach you that it's okay to dwell with demons in your house. Well, it's not so with the house of God, which is our body. Jesus refused to, and we should refuse it as well. You know, we can't love God and the devil too. Both can't be in the house. Never forget, this young girl told me, I forgot the question she asked the Lord. And the Lord told her, I said, well, I'm not the head of that house. Why? Because the head of the house, the husband, have chosen not to serve the Lord. So Jesus said He was not the head of that house. I wonder how many houses that Jesus is not the head of. But yet and still, that man and that woman goes to church. See, God looks on the inside. We look at the outside. Couple may look beautiful on the outside, but God looks on the inside. Praise the living God. So again, thank you for tuning in to live broadcast. Live broadcast on Mondays and Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And just go to the website, thechildrensmic.org/radio, and it gives you instructions on how you can tune in and join the host. Because after the teaching, you know, whoever called in live, I would unmute you to see if you have questions only pertaining to the message. Okay? Praise the living God. Well, today's message is entitled Pursue Love. And I'm coming from 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and I'm using the Complete Jewish Bible. Pursue love. Chase after love. You know, start chasing after that woman. Start chasing after that man. Start chasing after that job. That job promotion. Stop. Pursue love. Chase after. Pursue love. First of all, love is a who? Love is God. You know, stop pursuing these social accounts that are going to match you up with someone. Love is not found there. Because God is love. Pursue the word of God. Pursue the word of God. First one say, however, keep on eagerly seeking or pursuing the things of the Spirit. Pursue and keep seeking the things of the Holy Ghost, and especially seek to be able to prophesy. That means to encourage, a person, to build a person up. That don't mean for you to be telling the future or the past or the present moment. No, prophesy is to encourage, to build one up, to edify one. So if you want to seek or pursue something, well, always seek to be able to encourage a person, to build them up, to promote them up. I will ask the Holy Spirit every day, who is it you want me to encourage today? And don't forget, I was at work one day, just moved into a new position, had to go to the restroom. Well, while in the restroom on the commode, I heard this nurse crying. And I was sitting there, and I heard the door open, someone came in, it was my supervisor, and she asked her what was wrong, but I knew that when she asked her what was wrong, it was out of nosiness. I could feel it. And the girl who was crying could feel it too. She said nothing. And so my supervisor left out. And I was still on the commode. Lord, what is it you want me to say to her? How can I help her? So I got I finished using the restroom, the commode, and she washed my hands and stuff. She was there. And then the Lord gave me the words to encourage her. And so I encouraged her, and we hugged each other, and those tears dried up. You see, dear heart, pursue, eagerly seek and pursue things of the Spirit. And especially seek to be able to prophesy, to encourage one. You know, you don't have to have a great gift just to prophesy. You know, again, ask the Holy Ghost. He will give you the words to encourage a person, to build a person up. In the spirit now, not to go along with what they're doing. That's something totally different. No, you don't do that. But to build them up in the spirit. Verse 2 say, for someone speaking in a tongue is not speaking to people, but to God, because no one can understand since he or she is uttering mysteries in the power of the Spirit. Yeah. You can't encourage and build a person up by speaking in a tongue because they don't know what you're saying. You're only building yourself up, you know, when you speak in a tongue. So speak in the language in which the person understands. Not Holy Spirit to use you in a language the person understand. And if someone walk up to you and start speaking in a tongue, you'd be like, huh? And boy, they're offensive. Man, I sure feel bad. Yeah, but I don't know what you say. You know, it builds that person up who's speaking in that tongue. But it's not doing anything for you because you don't understand. Do what? Don't let people speak over you in a tongue or pray over you in a tongue. That's not the Holy Ghost. No, you say, look, excuse me, I speak English. Could you speak in English? Because I want to be edified. I want to be built up. I want to be encouraged. And the only way that's going to happen, I must understand. Speak in English if you speak English. If you speak Spanish, tell the person speak in Spanish if they speak Spanish. Whatever the language may be, your language may be. Praise God. 3 say, but someone prophesying is speaking to people. See? Prophesying is speaking to people, edifying, encouraging, and comforting them. See, to prophesy, that's what it don't mean that you're a prophet. Just because you prophesy, you know, which is edify, encourage, and comfort a person, that don't make you a prophet or a prophetess. We all supposed to be prophesying. We all supposed to be edifying, encouraging, and comforting one another. We all supposed to be pursuing love, chasing, seeking out the love so we can help our brothers and sisters who need that edification and encouragement and comforting. And we all need it at that time. 4 say, a person speaking in a tongue does edify himself. See, you're speaking in your heavenly prayer language. You edify yourself. You build yourself up. But a person prophesying edifies the congregation, you see. The person prophesying edifies the congregation because they're speaking in a known tongue where everybody understands, so they're being encouraged. But if you just get up and say, I got a message, and you off in the tongue and you sit down, everybody's like, huh? Huh? but you like, man, I feel good. Person lets you say, well, I'm glad you do because I don't know what you said. We don't know what you said. But if you prophesy, get up and speak in your own known language to encourage, to edify, comfort, and build someone up. Then the congregation will be edified and the congregation can rejoice in the Lord. So apparently in the Corinthian church, now if you go back and to 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, and read all the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you see those people did not lack in the gift of God. But they got confused. And also, they were sinning. At the same time, they were sinning. Check this out. At the same time, they were sinning. You know, in 1997, we went to this camp here in North Carolina, which is a few hours from us. We found out about it. And the Lord had, I mean, I've been talking to the Lord about some things. And he said, I'm going to send you to this camp. And I had to go by faith. I'd never been there before. Roger couldn't go. So I had to go by faith, me and the children. So I got my cousin to take me. He said, now, I want you to stay at least 2 weeks. If it's what you're looking for, you stay. If it's not, you can go back home. I said, okay. But anyway, it ended up being what I was looking for. And I enjoyed it. And I saw that the camp members, they did not lack in the gifts. But dear heart, when it came down to their personalities, they lacked. They were the most hateful people. But yet still, when you go to church, if there's someone who had a word, they had a word in a tongue, prophesying, but their lifestyle was totally different. And I got confused about it. And Lord said, Terry, the Corinthian church. I said, huh? He said, the camp is like the Corinthian church. I was like, oh. So for say a person speaking in a tongue does edify himself, but a person prophesying edifies the congregation. So I say, I wish you were all speaking tongues. Why did he wish you all speaking tongues? Because he wished everybody was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Lord said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost had come upon you. This Paul said, I wish you were all speaking tongues. But even more, I wish you were all prophesy. And I wish you would encourage one another, build one another faith, comfort one another, edify one another. I wish you all would prophesy. He said, the person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in tongues, unless someone gives an interpretation so that congregation can be edified. So Paul said, if the Holy Ghost come upon you to speak in a tongue, which actually is, now we're talking about the diversity of tongues. We're talking about different languages here. This particular verse here, different languages. But everybody might not understand that language. So someone in the congregation, the Holy Spirit may come upon them to interpret that language. You know, that these are languages that they never learn. Now, your heavenly prayer language, that's something you do privately to build yourself up. But again, this verse that Paul is talking about, the person who prophesies greater than the person who speaks in tongues, let someone give an interpretation so the congregation can be edified. He's talking about the gifts of diversity of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. You know, I finally got to see that in action when Holy Ghost first made me aware of his manifestation, which we call his gift, but it's his manifestation. He sent us to this Pentecostal church. And lo and behold, this woman got up and began to speak in a language. Now, knew by the Spirit, she did not know this was a known language that was unknown to her. She was not taught this language. Holy Ghost manifested himself upon her to speak in that language. And that was to build someone up, someone that understood it, to build that person up. Well, I didn't know what she said because I don't speak in that language. So to build us up who did not speak in that language, did not know that language, he turned right around and used another person to interpret what she said. And this person did not speak that language. And I was in awe. And I said, oh, that's what you said, Lord. So I have seen the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, where he manifests himself in the gift of diversity of tongues and interpretation. Remember now, the person don't know the language. They never was taught the language. It's supernatural. Again, my husband and I experienced when we was at this camp and had some young ladies from Korea. And this one young lady, usually I would be inside listening to the mess, but the Lord had me to go outside of the tent. And I saw her, and she was mumbling, grumbling. And immediately I knew a demon had manifested through her. And my heart went out to her at that time. I was not exercising my rights in the Lord by casting out devils, because the Lord was beginning to teach me. Soon after it happened, but I was in a teaching process, learning. But all I knew was I just could not let that woman, that young girl, stay like that with that demon manifest. So I knew this African pastor, God had him to sit way on the back that day. The Lord said, go get him. So I went and got him so he can cast that devil out of her. He immediately knew it was a demon. And the demon was coming out. And lo and behold, as the demon was coming out, this young lady did not speak English. She was in Korea. She did not speak English. But did you not know, because my husband was right there, because my husband was on one side of her hole and I was on the other side. And this woman, all of a sudden, this beautiful language came out of her, and it was praising God. And my husband, and it was gorgeous. And my husband looked at me, and I looked at my husband, and we both knew this girl did not speak English. But we understood. Well, that was the Holy Ghost coming upon her, manifesting himself in diversities of tongues. And in a language that we understood, which was English. And my husband and I, we knew that was God, because this girl did not speak English. But she was praising God. Pursue love. Pursue God. Praise the living God. So let me read it again. The person who prophesies, the person who encourages, edifies, and builds someone up is greater than a person who speaks in tongues only, unless someone gives an interpretation so that the congregation or the people or the person can be edified. Verse 6 says, brothers, that means sisters too, dear heart. God has not left us out. When they say brothers, it's talking about everybody. Suppose I come to you now speaking in tongues. Suppose I come to you now speaking in tongues. How can I be a benefit to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? I cannot be any benefit to you. If I come to you speaking in a tongue, which is a language that is not known to you, how could I be your benefit unless I bring to you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or encouragement or teaching? then you'll understand. Then it'll be a benefit. Seven, say, even with lifeless musical instruments, such as a flute or a harp, how will anyone recognize the melody if one note can't be distinguished from another? And if the bugle gives an unclear sound, who will get ready for battle? Well, it's the same with you. How will anyone know what you are singing unless you use your tongue, your known language to produce intelligible speech or understandable speech? And if you don't do that, you'll be talking to the air. And that's why a lot of people fell out with tongues today. That's why pastors have fell out with the tongue. Fell out with people prophesying. That's why the Lord said, despise not prophesying. Because people lack of understanding it have caused a lot of confusion. Lord, let us pursue love. 10 say, there are undoubtedly all kinds of sounds in the world, and none is altogether meaningless. But if I don't know what a person's sounds mean, I'll be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker will be a foreigner to me. 12, likewise with you. Since you eagerly seek the things of the Spirit, seek especially what will help in edifying the congregation. And you seek it, eagerly want to seek the things of the Spirit. Let's say things of the supernatural. I tell you. The Lord says, seek especially what will help in edifying the person, encouraging them, building them up. Eagerly seek to do that. Pursue love. Because you got a lot of people speaking tongues because they make them think and feel that they, I don't know, holy, righteous. Make them feel like they in right standing with God. And that's not so. The devil speaks in tongues. Yeah, his own language. 13 saying, therefore, someone who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. Let me talk about in a congregation. Okay? Let me talk about in your private, personal home. You can speak in your heavenly prayer language all you want to in your private, personal space. So you can be built up. But in the congregation, you know, outside of your home, you don't walk up to a person speaking in a tongue. I got a word for you, and you speaking in a tongue. Right there, you turn that person off. You know, many years ago, I had this young lady help me out in deliverance sessions. That's okay, Lord, I'll give her a chance. I noticed every time I send a request, and the person always contacted me after. And they don't be delivered. I said, what in the world? So finally, this one lady, finally, she noticed that she had a problem. So she told me what this young girl did. Because the Lord told me this young girl heard me in my message say, don't let nobody pray over you in a tongue. Well, the young girl who was helping me, and I sent her that request of this girl need to be delivered, she called up. And she was confused. She called me back. The girl said, well, the girl hung up on me. I said, well, why she hung up on you? I don't know. I was praying in tongues and she hung up. I said, oh. And that's the reason why she hung up. I said, didn't you hear me say, don't be praying no people in tongues because they don't know what you're talking about. She didn't know what you were talking about. And she knew what I had said, and she probably said to herself, why is this woman praying to me over in tongue when the Vance King has said, don't let no one pray with you over tongue because you don't know what they're saying. Now, that's why she hung up on you. Because the girl didn't understand. So eventually I had to stop sending her people. She eventually stopped having a thing to do with me. But verse 32 says, again, therefore, someone who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. Again, I'm not talking about you having the prayer language at home. It's about when you out and about, especially if you're in the church. Because people, it's easy for people to get up in church and bring this long message in tongue and they'll sit down. Well, you need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for interpretation because the people is not edified. You should pray for the power to interpret. You get up speaking in a tongue in the congregation, then you also should pray to the Father in Jesus' name for the power to interpret so the people can be edified. Praise the living God. And I did that one day. When I read that we could do that, we was at the women prayer breakfast. But we didn't have the breakfast. We just had prayer. Something like the men had the breakfast. We just had the prayer. It was on Saturday morning when we went to church when we was in Baltimore. And when we prayer began, I tune everybody out. I tune you out and just focus on the Lord. When I did that, the glory of God came up upon me, and I found myself speaking in an unknown tongue. Well, I knew what the word of God said, that pray for the power to interpret so people around me can be edified. So I prayed and asked the Lord to interpret what I just said so the people who would listen to me, because they was like, why is she speaking in tongues? I don't know what she said. Because I knew they needed to be edified, and sure enough, out came the interpretation. Out came the interpretation. Praise God. Which there were three ladies still didn't even like that. But that's what the Lord just telling us here. Therefore, someone who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. You don't have to sit down and wait for someone else to interpret. Say, Lord, give me the power to interpret this. Unless you have already chosen someone else in the congregation to bring this interpretation. Verse 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit does pray, but my mind is unproductive. That is so true. Your mind don't understand, but your spirit do. 15 says, so what about it? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. You see, pray with my spirit. So, Lord, give me interpretation of what I'm saying here. And Lord will give my mind the interpretation. Sometimes it be just one word. You know, when it comes to the mind, that's when you are edified because you understand it then. So I will pray with my spirit. I will also pray with my mind. Same thing, I will sing with my spirit, but I also sing with my mind. You also can sing in the spirit. And the Holy Spirit used me a lot to sing in the spirit. Because naturally, I don't have that gift. I'm like, Lord, you have blessed many people with the gift to sing. I cannot hold a tune. But he blessed me to sing in the spirit. So we sing a song in the spirit. We can ask the Lord to interpret that song in our mind. 15 say, otherwise, if you are giving thanks with your spirit, how will someone who has not yet received much instruction be able to say amen when you have finished giving thanks, since he doesn't know what you are saying? For undoubtedly, you are giving thanks very nicely, but the other person is not being edified. 18 say, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's what Paul said. I'm telling you, Paul went through a lot. That's why Paul spoke in tongues all the time. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. But, he says in verse 19, in a congregation meeting, and Paul said when he spoke in tongues, it was during his personal prayer life, his personal time. It wasn't in a congregation. He said, but in a congregation meeting, which is a church service, it's a congregation meeting, it's church service, I would rather say five words with my mind or with my understanding in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue so that they can be edified, encouraged, exalted, built up. You know, a few years ago, this prophet from Ethiopia that had been following, great man of God, came to the United States, and we went to Washington, D.C. to be in the service. And I went with hopes that we would have an interpreter. So I asked him up front, will we have an interpreter? He said, yeah. But somewhere down the line, he forgot me. And I had my two daughters with me. But there we were sitting there. They talking in their Ethiopian language, singing in Ethiopian language. Well, I was hurt. I could not join in with them because I couldn't understand the language. I could not feel that enjoyment, that joy, that happiness, that encouragement, that edification as they, because I did not understand the language. And it hurt my heart so bad. I said, Lord, we came all this way. And I said, it's just like watching on TV. I don't understand the language. And I literally shed tears. You know, when I shed those tears, I felt a tap on my shoulder and looked back at the lady behind me. You know what she said to me, dear? What she said, do you speak the language? I said, no. She said, I will interpret. You know how good God is. Then when she interpreted, I could rejoice. I could rejoice along with the congregation because I understood. I was encouraged and exalted and built up. Praise the living God. So Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues in my personal life more than all of you, but when it comes down to congregation meeting or in the church service, I would rather say five words with my mind in order to instruct other than 10,000 words in a tongue. I mean, an unknown language. 20 say, brothers, don't be children in your thinking, in evil. Be like infants. But in your thinking, be grown up. And the law it is written, by other tongues, by the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then they will not listen to me, says Ananias. So God will speak to us by his spirit in the gift of manifestation of diversities of tongues. And interpretation, so we could understand. Even though that happened, he said, we still would not listen to him. 22 says, thus tongues are a sign, not for believers. Tongues is not a sign for believers, but it's a sign for unbelievers. You know, I heard the testimony of this man of God. He was in an elevator. And this other man got in the elevator with him. I don't know if he had his wife, but I think a couple more people with him, but I don't know. But the man of God said he just felt the urge of the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues. So he said in the elevator, he began to speak in tongues. And he said after he finished, he said that man, in other words, was shocked and began to speak to him his language. He said, oh, I don't speak that language. He said, what you mean you don't speak that language? I just heard you speak in my language. You see, that tongue was not for that believer. It was for that unbeliever. You know, diversity of tongue. That means different language unknown to the speaker. Like if I'm in a Spanish speaking country and I don't speak Spanish. But the Holy Ghost decided to manifest himself upon me through his manifestation gift of diversity of tongue and speak Spanish. Well, I don't speak Spanish. Well, I know that whatever he's saying is for an unbeliever who does speak Spanish. And he'll turn right around and use a Spanish person who don't speak English to interpret what I just said in, that don't speak Spanish to interpret what I just said. You know, ain't God awesome? So, tongues are signed not for believers, but for unbelievers. While prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for believers. You hear that? Prophecy is not for unbelievers, it's for believers. 23 say, so if the whole congregation comes together with everybody speaking in tongues, and uninstructed people or unbelievers come in, won't they say you crazy? Yeah, that's what they say. That's why they don't go to church. I think the worst thing a pastor can say, especially when a pastor got a mixed multitude, a congregant's a mixed multitude, he got believers and unbelievers, and he gets up and say, come on, let everybody speak in the spirit, pray in the spirit. Don't say that. Because they're unbelievers. Now, some believers who have not been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with ever speaking in tongues yet, they're going to feel left out when I don't speak in tongues. And then the devil will trick them, and they, because they start speaking in tongues, end up getting a false tongue. That's why you wonder why you don't hear me speaking in tongues. Every now and then, you may. I mean, that's every now and then. But that's why, dear heart, just in case you're wondering that. Praise the living God. So let me read that again. So if the whole congregation comes together with everybody speaking in tongues, and uninstructed people or unbelievers come in, won't they say you are crazy? Yeah, they will. But if you all prophesy, remember, encourage, comfort, and exalt one another, build one another up. And some unbeliever or uninstructed person enter, he or she is convicted of sin by all. He or she is brought under judgment by all, and the secrets of their heart are laid bare. So he or she falls on their faith and worship God, saying, God is really here among us or among you. Praise the living God. Pursue love. 26. What is our conclusion, brothers? Sisters too. Whenever you come together, let everyone be ready with a song, or a teaching, or a revelation, or ready to use his gift of tongues, or give an interpretation, but let everything be done, but let everything be for edification. 27 say, if the gift of tongues is exercised, Let it be by two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. 28. And if there is no one present who can interpret, let the people who speak in tongues keep silent when the congregation meets. They can speak to themselves and to God. 29. Let two or three prophets speak, while the others weigh what is said. And if something is revealed to a prophet who is sitting down, let the first one be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, with the result that all will learn something and all will be encouraged. 32. Also the prophets, spirits, are under the prophet's control. For God is not a God of unruliness, but of shalom, which is peace. As in all the congregations of God's people, let the wise remain silent when the congregation meets. They are certainly not permitted to speak out. Rather, let them remain subordinate, as also the law says. If there is something they want to know, let them ask their own husband at home, for it's shameful for a woman to speak out in a congregation of men. True. Not on a woman, a man too. Now you probably say, Evangelist, can you please explain that? You know, I went to the Lord about that and he told me. And then he confirmed it years later when I was following this rabbi on Blog Talk Radio, the teachings. The rabbi taught on this scripture as well, and he confirmed. I said, okay. And I think it's like that today over into those in that country. The rabbi said what their custom was when it come down to teaching, you know, in the home, being in the home. He said the women were separated from the men. For instance, the men would be downstairs, the women could be upstairs. Now, you know how it is when a group of women get together now. We can talk. And the men would be downstairs. So the women would be talking and they would have a question. So what they would do, they would holler downstairs to their husband for the answer, which would they would disrupt with what was going on. And so that's why Paul said you need to keep quiet, wait till you get home. That's a shame. Wait till you get home, you ask your husband. That's what this rabbi said, and that's what the Lord said, and that's what Paul was referring to. People misinterpret Paul. Because I'm telling you, just as many men who need to shut up too, they are unruly, speaking out. Thus says the Lord, and the Lord ain't said nothing. They need to be silent. Praise the living God. Amen. And I said, okay, Lord, praise God. 36, they did the word of the Lord originate with you, or are you the only people it has reached? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or is endowed with the Spirit, let him acknowledge that what I am writing you is a command of the Lord. But if someone doesn't recognize it, then let him remain unrecognized. Verse 39 says, so, my brothers, sisters too, because you remember now, Paul was writing to the men. The men received Paul's writing, and the men, they had a responsibility to teach the women, which was the husband had a responsibility to teach the wife, the word of the Lord. But there was some husband who didn't teach their wife. So when they got in the congregation and started talking, and a woman couldn't understand, she hollered out, well, what you mean by that? You know, but that's just how women are. What you mean by that? What did you just say? We're supposed to do what? And the prophet, the rabbi said, you need to be quiet. It's a shame for you to speak out. Ask your husband when you get home. Well, the husband should have told her why she was home, because he received the instructions from Paul. Paul's letter. Praise God. So 39 says, so my brother, eagerly seek to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Eagerly seek to pursue love. Chase after love. Chase after encouraging, building one and edifying one people, a person. Eagerly seek to do that. And don't forbid speaking in tongues, though. Just teach them how to keep it orderly. That's why I say verse 40 says, but let all things be done in a proper and orderly way. Just teach them. Praise God. Pursue love. Pursue to encourage, to edify, to exalt, and to build a person, one another. Praise the living God. Father, we just thank you again for your word here. You have made it so simple for us to understand your word because you love us so much. It's our desire to pursue love. And we see the importance of encouraging one another because we're living in a world where love has waxed cold. So we need that encouragement from our brothers and our sisters, so we can continue in this race. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you for raising up great men and women of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're not the author of confusion. Thank you for giving us wisdom, giving us understanding of your word. When we don't understand your word, your spirit gives us understanding. And we thank you, Lord. And we glorify you. And we magnify you our way. In Jesus' mighty name.
Praise the living God. Thank you for joining me on the live broadcast of Holy Ghost Fire Talk. After the broadcast, I usually unmute those who have called in. Now, if you're at work, you can just simply say, I have no question. Okay. So I'm going to also now make sure your question is pertaining to the message only. All right. So I do have a few little callers here. And I'm going to unmute. Let's start with the one who's been waiting the longest. 7497. That's the last four digits of your number. Do you have any questions? 7497.
No question.
I want to thank. Okay, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to the broadcast. Okay, praise the Lord.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, I'm also gonna unmute 6465. Do you have any questions? 6465.
I do have a question about prophecy and a word
about,
of knowledge.
About
prophecy.
Yeah, I hear prophecy and the word of knowledge.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. The word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge is the Lord revealing to us. It's just a small part, a fragmentary piece of his thoughts that's pertaining to the present moment or the past. That's what the gift of the word of knowledge is. Now you didn't mention the gift of the word of wisdom. That's a part, a piece, a fragmented part of God's mind pertaining to the future only. Prophecy.
Mm.
Prophecy is, or prophesied. Prophesied is different from prophecy. prophecy seed mostly flow with the gift of within the office of a prophet, where they could foretell the future. You know, they flow in the gift of the word of knowledge and the gift of the word of wisdom. But prophesying is just general to a believer, where we encourage, exalt, and build one another up. We need that on a daily basis.
Okay.
Again, the word of knowledge deals with the present moment in the past. The word of wisdom deals with the future. Prophecy, P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y, function in the office of a prophet and foretelling, where they predict the future. The Holy Ghost through them reveal the future. And everybody don't have that, but everybody's supposed to prophesy, which is encourage and exalt and build one another up.
Okay, so it's like
when
Isaiah was telling the children of Israel, I think the remnant that was left over after I think King Nebuchadnezzar dragged, but he was telling them that if they go to Egypt, then they would be destroyed. But if they stayed where they were, and you know, I think they're supposed to, like, you know, just continue on with their lives, that they would have been okay. So that he was prophesying to them the future based on whatever decision they was going to make.
That was prophecy. He was giving a word of wisdom.
Oh, prophecy. Okay.
Mhm.
Okay. I didn't even know there was a difference in the prophecy and the prophesy. I thought they were both the same.
They're not the same. That's why everybody thinks they're a prophet. And a prophet because of prophesying. Roger said that all the time. People think they're a prophet and a prophetess because they're prophesying. We are supposed to prophesy. That's right. We are supposed to encourage one another, build each other up.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Thank you for tuning
in.
Thank
you.
Okay.
You're welcome. Oh, you're welcome.
All right. I'm going to unmute 8539. 8539,
hi.
Do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions, but I really enjoyed it. And thank you for clarifying the difference between prophecy and prophesying.
Yeah, yeah, please. You know, again, that's why we see so many young prophets, so-called prophets and prophetesses, because they prophesy and they label themselves. And that's dangerous because they're usurping authority. Anytime you put yourself in a position that Jesus hasn't put you in, you're just like Satan, usurping authority.
Yeah.
Curse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you might not know this, but if you got a Christian bookstore, go online to and look for Kenneth E. Hagin, the Holy Ghost and His Gift, the Holy Ghost and His Gift, and order that manual. You have that?
I'm reading that one. Yeah, I'm reading that right now. This is not high love, by the way. I'm reading that right now.
Yeah. Just take your time. Don't go through it fast. And also, I got a teaching I did three times in different years of the Holy Spirit and His gift and the manifestation of the Spirit on my Vimeo channel as well as YouTube. But go to Vimeo. Have a playlist there. You know, take your time. You can't fly through it. That's what mess person does. You can't fly through it. You have to take your time. Even before you finish, you may receive the baptism of speaking in tongues, but you continue with that series. Don't stop. Continue.
Yeah.
Take your time. Because when Holy Ghost led me into that teaching, I got that in the Bible. I took my time. I literally took my time, and I received the baptism of Holy Ghost ever begun time before I finished, and I continued. Even after I finished, and I had some concern and problem, Holy Ghost said, go back to that manual and go down the index page, and I tell you to stop. He said, go there, go to that chapter. And I went to that chapter, and that was my problem. I was like, oh, okay. And another ghost corrected. So you have to take your time. Don't fly through it. Okay? Take your time. So thank you for tuning in. Okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 0902. You have any questions?
Yes, I just wanted some clarification on prophecy. So when we're prophesying to others, we're building them up in the faith and encouraging them with our testimony of Jesus, or just building them up in with love, like the love of Jesus, because I know that's how he fulfilled, you know, righteousness. He fulfilled the law and everything just by loving others. So I wanted to know, when you're prophesying, that's basically when you're building up others in the faith?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the faith.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prophesying.
That's what prophesying is. But you notice that God's children lack that. They don't do that. You ever notice that? They really don't do it. I'm looking for it. I rarely find a child of God that encourages me, or if I see them encourage us. Every time we open our mouth, the Holy Ghost in us is encouraging somebody. A lot of times we don't know it, but we are encouraging someone in the faith because Jesus is in us. So when we open our mouth, it's going to be about him. It's always going to be about him. But most of our children, it's about their career. It's about their problems. You can tell us, talk about our problems. Come on, let you know, you get a friend, if you have that friend long, you get. Don't you lie to your friend and talk about their problem, and you talk about your problem. Your friend. That ain't helping none of you. No, you talk about how, what, in other words, what would Jesus do? How did Jesus handle that situation? What did Jesus say? Come on, let's look at the word, see what Jesus say about our situation. You know, that's encouraging, building them up. Now, when I was coming up as a young girl, that's why I used to love to be around them. The old women and old men who went to church, because I got joy. That's how I learned about Jesus, because they were always telling about the good things Jesus have done in their life, how the Lord had helped them to overcome, how the Lord did this, how the Lord did that. And I'd be a little girl just listening. And I'd be like, wow. Well, that was building my trust, my faith in the Lord. But nowadays, it's about being an entrepreneur. Building your career, trying to find that husband. Come on, girl, let's get together and pray for our husband. You can't find a skill or take it. You got to be praying for a husband. God already knows. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do prophesy, encourage one another, faith in God. Okay?
Oh, okay. Because I know, you know where it says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, or the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So that's something
right,
about
right.
In general,
yeah.
Just right?
Yeah, it's always the testimony of Jesus Christ. This prophecy comes to the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's always about him.
Yeah.
Okay. You see, so our conversation should always be about him. That's who's in us, the Holy Spirit. I can tell you this. You tell me that you're a Christian. All I just need to do is stand there and listen to you, and I know who you are. Because what's in the heart, that's what's going to come out. And that's why, because, you know, you're not going to have many friends. Because a lot of people love Jesus from their lips, but their heart are far from him. And Lord said, why you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? If you really love him, you would do what he say. You won't try to make other arrangements, excuses, and twist what he said in order to make you feel comfortable about what he said. You know, you just point blank do what he say. That's why you're not going to have many friends. So I learned many years ago to accept that truth. Jesus didn't have many friends when he was on this earth. And the same Jesus in you and I, but he still don't have many friends. Stop worrying about friends. Stop worrying about friends, I'm hearing the Lord say. As long as Jesus remain our friend, we remain his friend, that's all that matters. And God will give us a true friend and true friends. Like he said, he'll give us a the gift of a true family, a true mother, a true father, sister, brother, uncle, whatever the need may be. Well, I said, there's no one who have not given up anything for his sake that he has not caused them to reap more. And that is true. The Lord says, I'm worrying about friends. Okay? Praise God. Thank you, Sister Misha. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Lata used to allow me to add a name, and it will stay. But next time you call, it will show your name. But for some reason, it stopped doing that. So I don't be memorizing no numbers. All right, praise God. Thank you, Sister Misha.
Thank you.
All right, dear heart. Again, thank you for joining me. Remember those who listen on the archive, come and join the host. You go to the website, thechildrenmike.org/radio, for instructions on how to tune in to join the host on the live broadcast. I mean, you bless it to the archive, but I do believe it's a greater blessing when you come to the live broadcast whenever I'm on. You know, praise God. The program for Monday, Friday, easy. It's the morning program, more likely. I'm going to get my dear sister, Carla, to start doing them for a few weeks for me, and until I can get situated and with moves and stuff. But Sister Carla, you're still up here. I'll probably call you I call you tomorrow. Sometime tomorrow I'll call you and instruct you on how to sign on to my account. Okay? Praise God. All right, dear heart. You all stay blessed now. Have a great weekend. And remember now, always eagerly seek to prophesy. Ask the Holy Ghost. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm up this morning. You know, who is you want me to encourage, exalt today, uplift today, comfort today? I'm willing and ready. You know, we should always have that attitude. And then, remember now, it's the Holy Spirit will. You know, when he will, then he'll open up that opportunity. But we always be ready. Be ready. Be on the lookout, like you're on the lookout. And he knows that he can use you. He will use you. Okay? I just want you to try it. Try it, dear heart, I tell you. Because I tried it, and it works. Just try it. All right. Praise God. So everybody, again, have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Shalom.